Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
There are two readings this morning. The first one is Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. And can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles. And the second one is 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 2, and this is on page 1203 in the Church Bibles. So the first one, Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Jesus visits Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So the second reading, 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 2, in the Pew Bibles on page 1203. Advice about widows, elders, and slaves. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. I just want to take this opportunity, while I've got the mic, to say a big thank you to everyone at Emmanuel. I have reached the end of my first year of study at Crossland Seminary, and only a few more to go. And it's thanks to your support that I am learning and studying there, and I hope that, you know, this morning you will be able to see what I am doing and why I'm doing it. So, without further ado, let's pray, and then I will teach us this morning. So, Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. May we all learn. Amen. Well, if you're anything like me, you'll spend part of this summer people gazing. Whether it's at an airport, on the beach, or sitting in a cafe, I love watching people. I like guessing their story and how they know each other. How do you think you'd be able to identify a group of people as belonging to the same family? I'm looking around, I can see a few this morning. Maybe it's something distinctive in the way they look, or maybe it's their accent. It might be their affection with each other, or their irritation. Probably it would just be the well-known way in which they interact with each other. This is me with my brother and sister. We look pretty alike. We laugh at the same stories from our childhoods. And at times we speak words from our own language from the past, you know, the family speak, it's very obvious that we share the same family backgrounds. Now let's imagine we're people gazing at a group who we realise are Christians. What is it that helps us to identify them as belonging together? Because a group of Christians do belong together. Actually, a group of Christians are described as family, specifically brothers and sisters. For Christians, though, it's not that we look alike or that we speak alike that shows that we're family. We've spent some time meeting different people across the church this morning, and in fact, we're all from very different backgrounds, aren't we? For us, it's about taking to heart what we're taught in Scripture, that when we give our lives to Jesus, we become part of a new family. It's not something we inherit at birth. Instead, it's a gift from God, and it's something we need to be intentional about putting into practice. We're starting a new sermon series today on friendship, and we'll be spending time in the coming weeks thinking about how friendship is modeled in the Bible. We're kicking our series off today by thinking about what healthy friendship looks like between Christian men and women. Whilst we're taught to think of each other as brothers and sisters if we're Christians, using that phrase about each other can carry an unwelcome heaviness. For many of us here this morning, our physical families are complicated. Sometimes our relationship with our blood brothers and sisters is less than ideal. But I believe that if we push into this idea of being family together, we find one of the great joys of our faith. The passages we're going to look at were chosen because they represent the wider teaching found across the Bible. Firstly, then, we're going to look at this little story in Luke chapter 10 of Mary and Martha. And secondly, we'll look at some of Paul's teaching on this relationship. So if you'd like to follow, please turn to page 1052 in your Bibles, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And it's the story of Mary and Martha that Irene just read. It's a little story of a conversation between Jesus, Mary, and Martha. Now, if you've been in church a while, especially if you're a woman, chances are you've heard this story as the one where you are challenged to prioritize time with God over the housework. Questions like, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Always make me feel slightly panicky because I know what I should say, but I know what the truth is. But today I'd like to briefly dip into this story for what it shows us about Jesus in a friendship with women. This isn't the only place this family are found. In John's Gospel, the one after Luke, we go on to read that these two sisters also had a brother, a man whom Jesus was very close to called Lazarus. I recommend you go and read their stories later. They're in John chapters 11 and 12. Those stories show Jesus' relationship with them was easy and close, indicating he often stayed with them and they knew each other well. It's in this context that Martha hosts Jesus and probably at least some of his friends. This was a time when the women were expected to prepare the meal in the kitchen while the men were expected to sit and talk and learn from the rabbi. And that's why Martha's so irritated when she realizes Mary is in fact not only absent from duty, but she's also sitting in a place reserved for men at Jesus' feet. So I'm going to take three things that we can observe from this little conversation with Jesus and Martha and then use them as places of application for us today at Emmanuel. So what did Jesus and Martha model in this men-women friendship? Firstly, it was countercultural. In his gospel, Luke allows women more of a voice and a presence than would have been the cultural norm at that time. For example, in verse 38, we read that Martha owns the home. So Luke was saying Martha was the head of the household, and that in itself was unusual because she had a brother. Also, while we see it as completely normal that Mary was sitting chatting with Jesus, it's also something that would have jarred with those present. By doing that, you see, she was putting herself on an equal footing with men as far as discipleship was concerned. And that would have been deeply frowned upon by the more religious men present. Finally, the manner in which the sisters interact with Jesus in this story and the later ones show an unusual picture of equality, countercultural for the times. So Luke here is drawing a picture of women who were given a different status than society traditionally allowed them. He's also showing us that Jesus doesn't push women back into their place, but helps them into a place of standing alongside men. In Luke, therefore, Jesus is modelling an example of what a healthy relationship between men and women looks like. It doesn't conform to cultural restrictions or limitations or definitions. Secondly, it's honest and intimate. Let's look at the way Martha talks to Jesus. She addresses him respectfully as Lord in verse 40, but she then goes on to speak her mind. It seems clear she has a level of intimacy with Jesus that allows her to share what's going on in her heart. Now, she could have done the British thing, sidestepped around the issue without saying what she really meant. Guys, don't mean to be awkward here. Don't mean to interrupt, but that chicken ain't gonna cook itself. Or, if she was like me, she could have stayed in the doorway and tried to catch her sister's eye in a furious glare. My sister's watching, hello. But instead, she outright names the problem to Jesus himself. She goes head on, even accusing Jesus of not caring. Now listen to me, I'm not recommending we go head on with each other. Keep listening. She points out how she sees what he's done as unfair, and she even tells him what to do differently. That's the way a woman talks to her friend or her brother. Why did Luke allow such seeming disrespect from a woman to Jesus? The honesty that Martha displays here is key to our relationships with each other. It's usual to think of Mary as the sister Jesus was closer to. I don't know if you've had that as you've been growing up. We're used to thinking of Martha as the one who's too frazzled to be of any use. But I wonder if in some ways, because of her frank honesty, we might say that it's Martha that has a more honest and intimate relationship with Jesus than Mary in this example. Finally, focused on God, we see the relationship here is helped into a healthier place by Jesus himself. He moves the focus back to take it away from things that aren't actually that important in the long run. We aren't told about the tone in which Martha spoke to Jesus. She's described as distracted by her preparations, and there are exclamation marks put into the text to indicate she's irritated. We're also not told about the tone that Jesus used, but there aren't any exclamation marks. In his reply, Jesus recognizes she is stressed. He doesn't make a sarcastic remark about her forgetting her place. He doesn't tell her to take a chill pill. Sometimes I think we feel like Jesus is telling Martha off, but I don't think we should read Jesus' words here as a rebuke. Instead, we can see them as a reminder that it's our shared faith that's the most important focus between us as Christian men and women. When we lose sight of our shared goal and focus instead on the stress going on around us, we stay in a place of unproductive irritation with each other. By commending Mary to Martha as an example, Jesus isn't putting Martha down. Instead, he's talking to her with the same honesty that she showed to him. More importantly, he's helping her to get back on track. I like to think that next he invited her to sit down with him and Mary and told the disciples to go and cook the chicken. So then, as we look at what it means to be brothers and sisters with each other, it's from these brief lines of conversation between Jesus and Martha that we can see this healthy dynamic of how to be as brothers and sisters. So I'd like to move on and use the second passage for what these three truths might look like in practice for us at Emmanuel. What is our goal as brothers and sisters at Emmanuel? Firstly, we're striving for radical difference from the world. What does it look like for us to be different from our culture in how we relate to one another as men and women? I think one of the ways is in how we see each other. As someone who's worked in women's education over many years, I believe it's essential that women are given the same opportunities as men. I lament this isn't the case in far too many countries of the world, and women are too often seen as second-class citizens. As Luke shows us, in this and many other places, that is not how Jesus saw women. I also believe it's essential men are treated in the same way as women. It's hard to be a man today. I'm a woman, so I'm limited in how much I can say, but I'm the mother of two sons. I know it's never been tougher in the West to work out what it looks like to be a healthy, strong man. Again, when we look to Jesus, we see what that should look like. The result of our broken world is that as women and men try to work out who they are, our culture often teaches them to be opposites or to be rivals to better one another. Let's look again at this little two verses in 1 Timothy 5. It's on page 1203 in the Bibles. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him, encourage him, as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So instead of a sense of one-upmanship over one another, we should be viewing each other with completely different lenses. This is the transformation of our worldview that's part of what it means to be a Christian. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we should push against letting the world squeeze us into its mold when it comes to how we see each other. By looking at passages like these verses, we see that our starting point shouldn't be about what the surrounding culture expects of us, but it's what God, in his mercy, has done for us. Because of God's grace shown to us in Jesus, we no longer see each other as rivals, but as those who love each other and want to build each other up. So, friends, for those of us of a similar age, let's aim to build up deep sibling bonds with each other. For those who are younger, let's see our older brothers and sisters as if they were our parents. For men and women to love each other counterculturally, we should think first about the other person's comfort. The question we must always ask ourselves before speaking or reacting is, what does love for this person look like in this situation? Secondly, let's aim for honest depth with each other. There was an article in the Independent newspaper this week that talked about the rise of the catch-up friend. It's a reference to the hurried friendships we usually now experience. We only ever have time for a quick catch-up. Apparently, we're so short on time that we only ever have surface-level conversations. This has resulted in a loss of intimacy, which means we no longer know really what deep relationships look like. If we're going to speak here in church about offering people a new family when they come into the family of God, this is something we need to address. When we look at Martha, we do see a woman in a rush, but we also see a woman who trusted her friend Jesus enough to be real with him. The trust she shows comes with time. Christian friendship between men and women should involve the depth of relationship and intimacy that healthy brothers and sisters enjoy with each other. It's a friendship that doesn't fall apart if one of you is sharp with the other one. It's a friendship that means you can tell each other if life's particularly tough without worrying you're looking weak by doing so. But there's a strong warning that comes with intimacy between each other. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 2, Paul stresses that while urging us to aim for those sibling relationships, we should act with absolute purity. towards one another. Surely one of the most common ways in which intimacy in a relationship is interpreted now is through sexual interaction. Paul repeatedly warns against this in his letters to the early churches. Instead of seeing intimacy between brothers and sisters as something that comes from or leads to sex, Paul says Christian men and women must have absolute purity, just as if we were brothers and sisters. So whatever form our sexual temptations take, it might be tempting to conclude it would be better to avoid close friendships altogether for fear of messing up. But when we starve ourselves of deep relationships, we're left more vulnerable to sin. Sexual sin is often fueled by loneliness. This is a reason to proceed with care in our relationships. Whether we're feeling lonely ourselves or whether we're offering friendship, we should be crucially aware of our weaknesses. But the loneliness that can lead to sin is also the biggest reason to invest in Christian friendships with intention. The intimacy that's found in close friendships with each other is the love that's missing from many people's lives. Of course, there are many in our church who live alone or feel disconnected from our natural families. Aiming for honest depth with each other is one of the key ways we can ensure our church is not a place of isolation, but a place of connection. Finally, let's keep Jesus as the focus of our friendships. Just as Jesus pointed Martha towards deeper discipleship, so we should do this in our friendships with each other as brothers and sisters. Whilst it's important for men and women in the church to be countercultural and to pursue honesty, it's vital that our friendship is rooted in a common goal. We are brothers and sisters because our Father is God. Our shared goal is sanctification. That's the work Jesus has begun in us so that we are reaching towards holiness. We're brothers and sisters, not just so that we find a family, but to help each other to thrive in our faith. What might it look like for us to do that well? I think we should honour each other as believers. We should take responsibility to know our Bibles well on the issues that are thorny. As brothers and sisters, we want to speak to one another in love, to help one another grow in faith, to bear with one another as we stumble and sometimes get it wrong. Look at us this morning. We're not divided into a group with the men on one side and the women on the other, but we're worshipping God together. This is one of the joys of meeting as one congregation in our morning services. We remember we are one family together. And again, we've done that this morning as we've met each other. Whether it's inside church or outside church, Timothy says, be respectful towards those who are older and be kind towards those who are younger, because this is our family. So as I finish, what does it look like to be brothers and sisters in Christ? When I was younger, we used to sing a song about unity with the chorus, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. This talk of being brothers and sisters might seem like something unreachable for you today. Maybe you've been badly hurt by another Christian and you hold yourself back from deep relationships. Maybe your church background means that there's no friendship and no intimacy, but it's a place of coldness and hardness. Maybe your family background inhibits you from being able to talk about your siblings with anything but sadness. Maybe you long to know what it actually means to be part of God's family. Please don't hesitate to come and talk to John or myself at the end of the service, or to go and be prayed for. I think we too easily forget it isn't by reaching deeper and trying harder that we'll find this love for one another. Instead, our love for each other as men and women is only possible because of the work of Jesus, the one who Hebrews calls our older brother. It's when we come to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour that we find our place in the family. It's through the forgiveness of our sins at the cross that God opens his arms to us as his children. And it's the Holy Spirit living in our hearts who gives us what we need to reach out in forgiveness and love to each other. Let's pray. We want our church to be a place where people find family, Lord. We ask that you help us relate to each other well across divisions. As men and women, brothers and sisters, may we be healthy, honest, and Jesus-focused. May we offer the depth of friendship that helps the lonely. And may we be a people at Emmanuel of absolute purity with one another. We ask all this because we know you are our loving Father.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.